You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Wokeness is trying to destroy America, and we're seeing, whether it's the corporate media or big business, we're seeing woke corporations that are engaged as the political enforcers of the radical left and are trying to silence, are trying to cancel, are trying to punish American citizens, and I think it is profoundly dangerous.
May the 4th, 2021, the words of Senator Ted Cruz, Republican, Texas, saying what many of us already know and believe anyway, all of this wokeness, cancel culture going around, it is destroying America. It's certainly destroying lives. I mean, if you do anything out of line, as far as the woke culture believes you're out of line, they are not only out to just cancel you, they are out to destroy you. And Senator Ted Cruz is saying Republicans need to start fighting back. In fact, he says Republicans need to grow a backbone, a spine. Stand up against this. Don't accept PAC money from these woke corporations. All the money they contribute to political candidates, they, of course, cover both sides of the aisle. They try to make sure they get money into everybody's pocket because they don't want to be on the wrong side. But he says if you're dealing with some of these woke corporations and sending you their PAC money, reject it. Stand up. Have a backbone. Say no. Delta, your remarks about the Georgia election law. Coca-Cola, your remarks about the election law. MLB, you want something special from us? No. Just go right down the line. And ironically, Senator Ted Cruz and James Carville, the mastermind who got Bill Clinton into office, seem to agree on this woke cancel culture. We're going to break that down for you a little bit later. The CD rules, well, they continue changing. Aren't we at the point where you just say, they don't know? They just don't know? The CDC is too politicized. We know that for a fact. For a perfect example, the teachers' union's leadership. Keeping kids out of the classroom via Zoom learning only, supposedly, in many states, despite what's been done to make things supposedly better. Meantime, there are reports that the Pentagon might have developed a microchip to be inserted under your skin to help detect COVID. Is that true? Is there such a thing? Would there be other uses to put that microchip in you, to spy on you? Gabe Kaminsky from The Federalist is going to join us on that. Oh, and President Biden went to visit former President Carter, former President and Mrs. Carter. And while the President and First Lady were with the Carters, you know they're old. You know the Carters are considerably older even than Biden. They sat with them. They posed with them. They laughed with them. And there they are. Neither President Biden nor the First Lady is wearing a mask. Well, of course, you know, they've been vaccinated. But Biden will wear a mask when he's doing a Zoom conference call. Biden will wear a mask walking outside at Arlington Cemetery, but now he's with some truly elderly people, and he's not wearing a mask? Does that not tell you how stupid all of this is at this point? And also, Biden's border crisis, if not already your crisis, it will be your crisis. Nothing's still really being done, but VP Harris is now talking about getting things under control. Still no news conference, but she says, I know what's the cause. I know how to put a stop to it. She's tying climate change to all the issues of the flood of refugees coming to our border. Climate change. Not even blaming cartel violence, and certainly not blaming any remarks by Joe Biden. We're going to get into that. And then, yes, the controversy over the police, the officer, the sheriff who stopped a woman in her Mercedes. And she starts immediately calling him a murderer and a racist because he's a Mexican-American cop or Mexican descent. I don't know what it is, but for her, he was brown, will always be brown, never be white, and he's a murderer. We're going to talk about that in great detail. I also want to take a moment to thank my friend, Marine Colonel Jack Jackson, for filling in yesterday as I had to take a day off. I always appreciate having the Colonel around. I know he has some fantastic stories he shared with you. I listened to a lot of it. Later, I had to pick it up his podcast, as many as you do. Again, thanks to the Colonel. Thanks for you listening. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500, but say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The American Federation of Teachers got what they wanted after sending this email to the CDC that has now been published by the New York Post. It said in part, it would be great to see the insertion, some variation of the following. In the event high community transmission results from a new variant of SARS-CoV-2, a new update of the guidelines may be necessary. And that last part, in quotes, wound up in the official CDC guidance. Records of political donations on opensecrets.org find that the American Federation of Teachers and their affiliates donated millions to liberal groups last cycle. Most states moved teachers to the front of the line for vaccines months ago, but many have resisted going back so far. And now Republicans are pressuring the president to send them back.
Those are the words of Peter Ducey in a report for Fox News, and again pointing out that these teachers' unions and all the money they donate to liberal candidates. That sets in motion, of course, the direction they want to go. And we've seen numerous teachers' unions across the nation refuse to go back to the class and just delay and delay and delay because it's too dangerous for the teachers. And then we see teachers from that same union vacationing, going to the beach, going out and having a good time, but frightened of their own students, will not stand there and teach. Now, I want to stress to you again, this is not all teachers. The teachers I know and respect, and there's a difference, I know some that I don't, but the teachers I know and respect, they want to be there teaching their kids. They know that this Zoom learning is not working. They know that from the very beginning that it was not going to work. Now, let me bring you a couple things up to point before we continue down this line. We're waiting at any moment now that President Biden is going to announce a new vaccination goal. The idea is to update on the pandemic to say we're aiming for 160 million U.S. adults to be fully inoculated against coronavirus by July 4. Is he going to say then that you can have a July 4th holiday, celebration, party, and so forth if you've been vaccinated and you won't need to worry about masks and we can go out and have a good time? Do you think that's going to happen? I would not go that far yet. Now, federal data estimates more than 105 million Americans, 32% of the population, now fully vaccinated. Now, when I say fully vaccinated, that means if they had two shots, Moderna or Pfizer, then they had one and the second one. They are fully vaccinated. But if they only had one and haven't got the other one, and some may not even go back and get the second one, then they're not considered fully vaccinated. Again, I told you from the beginning, you do what you need to do for the best of you and your family. Make some decisions. And I'm not saying totally ignore health guidelines. I've never said that. But you, at some point, you begin to say, how much of this is really health issue and how much of it's political issue and control? So Biden, again, expecting to aim for 70% of the U.S. population to have one vaccine shot by July 4th. And according to that one shot, the CDC says, yeah, 44% have had the one shot, either the Johnson shot, which I guess would make them fully vaccinated, or one of the two, either Pfizer or Moderna. So today, the president's expected to direct tens of thousands of pharmacies in the federal pharmacy program to offer walk-in appointments, also support more pop-up clinics, smaller community vaccination sites, mobile clinics, and an effort to increase vaccination among those in the rural areas, read that flyover country, middle country, where they really don't care about you when it comes to liberals, but they're going to kind of act like they did. And, of course, they got to overcome the so-called vaccine hesitancy that started in the beginning because some folks, and remember where the hesitancy first started? With the Democrats. New York Governor Cuomo and others, governors, blue states, and blue citizen, we're not going to take anything if it was developed on Trump's watch. And then suddenly, oh, we want it. All this comes as Walmart and Sam's Club also announcing today that pharmacy locations nationwide will begin administering COVID-19 vaccines on a walk-up basis in addition to the pre-scheduled appointments. So they're trying to push forward. If you want it, you should be able to get it. And yet you heard that report from Peter Ducey, Fox News, saying the teachers' unions have been pushing what they want the CDC to say. And if there's any change, if there's any new variation, if there's anything that looks like, uh-oh, there's something new here, then we may have to shut everything down again. Here's Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, Republican, saying it's time for Biden to get tough with the teachers.
Well, I mean, all the president has to do is stand up and be very firm. The teachers aren't the problem. It's their leadership. It's the teacher unions. I think the unions are holding out for more pay. In the meantime, our children get hurt. And what's so avoidable and a shame about all this is President Biden can fix it. He says he's the education president.
Yeah, he says he's the education president, but you do know, of course, that they went to the president and first lady visited a school the other day, grade schoolers. Hey, kids, how do you like this Zoom learning and so forth? And the kids, they don't have a filter. Did he not ever watch Art Linkletter, Kids Say the Darndest Things? The kids are saying, oh, we love it. We can go sleep. We can be asleep at home. We just have it on. We don't have to be sitting there. We can go off and do other things instead of really sit there and listen to the teacher. We can suddenly claim that, and the kids are smart and savvy this, we have a technical glitch. We will not be able to participate in Zoom conferencing today. Those kids are smart enough to figure that out. And they told that exactly as I described it to the president and first lady. Somebody didn't do a good job to coach those kids and say, listen, tell the president You're glad to be back in the class, but that you've been learning a lot in Zoom learning, and you're smarter because you've been doing it in Zoom learning, and you really are much better prepared than everyone thinks you are. But the kids, if they were told to deliver that message, that ain't what they did. And again, we have these CDC regs constantly shifting and changing. You never know what, is this right? Is that wrong? So the CDC, again, trying to dictate various things. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, Arkansas, said, you know, if you look at all the things that the CDC says are harmful for you, and you should not do this and should not do that, you have to do this, don't do that. Everything aside from anything to do with COVID, put just COVID out of your mind for a moment. COVID, let's say it, even before it ever existed, a lot of the CDC regs that are out there, how many of us really bother following them? You want some examples? Here's Senator Tom Cotton.
The CDC is a thoroughly politicized agency. Most Americans disregard their advice on things like steaks and hamburgers and beers. Increasingly, they should disregard their advice when it comes to school reopening. Schools need to be open. Schools have been open in Arkansas 5 days a week in person since last August, and it's been largely fine. That's been the case all across the country as well. We shouldn't have a politicized public health bureaucracy like the CDC answering at the beck and call of the teachers' unions. We need kids back in school and back in real school, not sitting in a classroom doing a Zoom session with teachers who are not in the classroom. We need kids in schools with their teachers now.
Now. We all know. We know that this has not been good for the kids. We know it. I had no idea, and I don't know that anyone really can at this point give us some idea of how damaging this is going to be for our kids going into the future. They have basically lost at least a year of learning. Now, they will probably, of course, find ways to make it up, and maybe the curve will be not just a curve, it will be a scale that will take everybody above the passing grade on anything and everything. But yeah, the CDC is fully politicized now. You can't deny that. And of course, you've got the state-controlled media doing everything it can to push the propaganda. Push the propaganda. You want an example? CNN, you know, is a propaganda network. State-controlled media, no longer mainstream media. I'm saying state-controlled media because the Democrats have the White House, both houses of Congress. CNN was tweeting reference COVID vaccine distribution that pretty much exposes a double standard from how they covered Trump versus the Biden administration. And they don't really care. They don't expect you to catch it anyway. And even if you catch it, they still say, no, we did exactly right. Here's what happened. October 2020, in a headline, CNN, October 2020, on Trump's efforts to speed the vaccine trials, CNN framed it this way. Even before his diagnosis, Trump had been taken to calling drug companies to check on their vaccine trials, asking how much longer they'll take, ginning up pressure around his desire for a vaccine before Election Day. In other words, saying he wants it just to get votes. Well, obviously it would have helped, but it was available, and to a large extent, I mean, let me put it this way, it was well underway because of the warp speed he put on it. Then you go to the Biden administration and how the CNN was looking for every way it could compliment on whatever the White House under Biden was doing. Listen to this copy. The urgent wartime effort by President Biden and his advisors to get millions of vaccines has allowed the U.S. to go from having one of the worst COVID responses in the world to being a leader on vaccines. We all see the difference. We see what you're doing. We pulled the curtain back. We know who's there. We know what you're doing step by step. Are we at a point now that we just say, just dump the mask, just regardless, just dump it? Here's Senator Tom Cotton again.
By the end of May, anybody who wants a vaccine will have had a chance to get it and to have it become fully effective. There is zero reason to be wearing masks outdoors. Joe Biden, when he walks from the White House to the Marine One helicopter, should take off his mask and show Americans that it's fine to start getting back to normal.
Wouldn't that be a good idea?
rather than the guy who's already been vaccinated walking to Air Force One or the helicopter, Marine One, or walking through Arlington Cemetery, that take off your mask to show that once you get the vaccine, if you're out in the open, if you're by yourself, you certainly don't have to wear a mask. I just wonder how many folks are still driving around in their car. They've had their vaccine, and they have their mask on at the same time. Now, the other day, I started walking into the store. Dadgummit, got to go back and get my mask because they still have a mask mandate. It's their store. They're going to enforce it. Okay. But I've reached another conclusion on this. Here's what I think we should start doing at this point. You can decide on your own. Just let the customers decide. If you want to go into a restaurant and eat, go ahead. No mask required. The employees will either have to wear it if the company or the owner demands it, but you just make your own decision and go. We got to get people back to work. And you know the other problem that exists right now, many companies cannot find enough workers. I'll get into some more of that before we wrap up the hour, and also some changes at one of the major stations in town that really should benefit this program, because we are going to be your conservative voice. And also, before we wrap up this hour, did the Pentagon develop a microchip supposedly to detect COVID but might be used for other purposes? And then again, what President Biden and the First Lady did that is contrary to everything they preach to you day in and day out. Now it's fully exposed. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Okay, as I was alluding to in the monologue and just before we went to break, what President Biden and the First Lady did is absolutely contrary to everything they've been trying to push in front of you and the world. Every time we see President Biden, he has his mask on, unless he forgot where he put it. Yeah, that's right. When he's speaking to the joint houses of Congress the other night with Vice President Harris behind him and Nancy Pelosi behind him, both wearing black masks. I mean, they look like they were being held there for criminals or something. He didn't have his on. Pelosi allowed him to take it off. But then when he did a conference call, he had on his mask. I mean, a Zoom call he's wearing. Walking through Arlington Cemetery, he's wearing a mask. So here's what happened. President Biden and the First Lady went to go visit former President Jimmy Carter, who is now 96 years old, a two-time cancer survivor. And at the same time, they were visiting with the 93-year-old Rosalynn Carter. So here they are inside their home. President Biden sitting next to Mrs. Carter, the First Lady sitting next to the former President Carter. Nobody has a mask on. None of them. Here are two obviously elderly. Now, when I get to be 93, 96, I won't consider that elderly, but for the purpose of this will be considered elderly. And certainly they are severely compromised in various ways. Carter, a two-time cancer survivor. Now, the Bidens are vaccinated. I'm not going to disagree with that. But while they're telling you got to do all these kinds of things, here they are in front of two, not just in front, sitting next to, touching, shaking hands, right up in the face of a 93-year-old and a 96-year-old. The Bidens aren't wearing a mask. Neither are the Carters. So, in other words, do what we tell you to. That's where it's been for some time, and this has been the issue for many Americans. Just not going to do it. I mean, why should we do it? And meanwhile, there's a report in The Atlantic basically saying progressive communities have been home to some of the fiercest battles over COVID-19, and some liberal policymakers have left scientific evidence behind. That's according to a writer for The Atlantic. And in fact, is saying some left-wing Americans are having trouble emerging from the coronavirus lockdowns. They don't care if we go back to the normal. The writer even quotes how difficult it is to return to normal life, such as you saw in human nature, as in Genesis 8, 14, 17, the Old Testament. Noah has trouble leaving the ark. Despite the end of the flood, and eventually God has to tell him, leave the ark. I'm surprised the Atlantic, well, I don't know if they actually put that in, or that's just part of a write-up on it, but it's an interesting point. But it does point out most older Americans who've had a greater risk during the pandemic probably have adjusted to their situation permanently or may just never use in-person services again, even if it opens. But we do know that many, of course, have anxiety disorders. They struggle with everyday interactions, and they're finally just trying to figure out how to do the stay-at-home setting and live with it. But the Atlantic documents lurking among the jubilant Americans venturing back out to bars and planning their summer wedding travel is a different group. Liberals who aren't quite ready to let go of pandemic restrictions. Shouldn't be any surprise, should it? And the article goes on to say Democrats express more worry about the pandemic than Republicans do. People who describe themselves as very liberal are distinctly anxious. I have a couple of friends. One of them is certainly more liberal than the spouse. And they were condemning anybody who was going out to any of the bars, even with a mask on, all that stuff. And you're just trying to call, even if you're wearing a mask, everything. Well, now they're kind of going out. They're going to, you know, they want to get back to normal. But there are those who said, no, I could stay like this. We're ready for Mad Max world, I guess. Let's just all go live in that, or boy in the bubble type thing again. I don't know. But there's been a story circulating that the Pentagon developed a microchip to be inserted in your skin that might detect COVID. Is that true? And then would it be used to spy on you? Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for three generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rodtler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rodler. Pest Solutions.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there was a story that surfaced on CBS 60 Minutes Sunday. A retired infectious disease physician in the Army indicating that he's been leading a Pentagon effort titled Enabling Technologies to Develop Treatments for Various Diseases. And on CBS 60 Minutes, he said his team, operating under the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, was instructed by the government to take pandemics off the table by developing a chip, a microchip that would go under your skin and then tell you if there are chemical reactions going on inside your body. If you have symptoms that you're going to have tomorrow, you'll have the disease. He said it's like a check engine light. Does that sound far-fetched? Well, look at what we have now. Stuff we do now, in various hospitals that looked like it were was out of Star Wars previously. Well, I want to dig more into that, and I'm looking to an article written by Gabe Kaminsky with The Federalist. Gabe, glad to have you aboard again, sir.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me.
So I'm reading your report, and folks, what I was reading then is pretty much the beginning of his report. First of all, this story, again, the idea is that the will just detect if you have COVID symptoms and they're going to surface tomorrow, and are, you know, some early treatment, and are the issue that it would be also a way for a, quote, vaccine passport. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, as you said, this is an initiative, that the Pentagon sort of was instructed to follow through with internally. So it's an internal project where, individuals in the military, as of, you know, the currently provided information, would be able to, you know, put this sort of chip / micro sensor, as you mentioned, he said, it is, quote, like a check engine light into their skin to, see if they are COVID positive. And look, you know, in no way, shape, or form in my piece in The Federalist did I directly say that this is a program, you know, some sort of vast conspiracy to immediately, track the American public.
Right.
And something that is even a public initiative. But I do think, and that my colleague Rachel Bovard correctly pointed out in the piece, is that people have a right to be skeptical of initiatives such as this insofar as, you know, COVID-19 rollout. There has been a great blurring of the lines between public health and public security with, you know, initiatives, like you said, like vaccine passports that the government, you know, has verifiably been sort of developing with the private industry, specifically with the airline industry, for people to have to show they have received the vaccine in order to board a plane. Given the CNN report on Monday about how the Department of Homeland Security is working a sort of plan for cybersecurity to collect data on those who rioted at the Capitol on January 6th. You know, these are the things that we can keep in mind, and just, you know, I think it's important for Americans to have a healthy bit of skepticism.
Well, you know,
in the federal government.
To that extent, I mean, of course, certainly in the Bible, the mark of the devil, and then we'll have numbers, 666, all this stuff will be printed up on us. All of us now have an ID number of some type, Social Security, whatever it is. And for in the beginning, when all that started, you know, whether it's going to be a way they can track you. And in fact, they can. They can track you anywhere. If you're using your credit card somewhere, that card's tied to you, your Social Security and everything. So that's already there. But you're right. If they use this under a guise that we're helping you health-wise, and yet it's just another way to, if you don't want us to fine you and you're going to use cash, no credit cards, everything else, that you might cut off your arm if you don't want us to fine you. I mean, some will go so far and say that that's where this is going. You said, and I'm reading a quote as you quoted Rachel Bovard, the Conservative Partnership Institute, that there has to be concern, not only if the military is doing it, but if corporations are involved with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not, look, there's no immediate concern, no immediate reference that this is a private industry initiative that would be delivered to the public. But I think Rachel Bovard is very correct that we do have to be wary of the society we are in right now, where there is immense benefit for private corporations, of which there are many who have been developing these sort of vaccine passports applications in which people would have to provide evidence they have received a COVID-19 immunization to enter the public square. I mean, this is something that's already been started in New York with the Excelsior Pass.
Let me stop for just one second. Just that one question. Let's begin there. The person receiving it either has to submit or would have to be ordered or in jeopardy of losing a job or position or something of that nature. Not yet jail, but, I mean, some say, well, that would be the next step.
that you could go to prison.
Yeah. If you don't have it, we'll put you in jail if you don't have it. If you want to be working here, you got to have it. We're already going to see some companies demand vaccination passport, not passport, but proof. We know that going to some of these colleges this fall, if you're going to be in a dorm, you're going to have, in many cases. I mean, we're just that much closer to those steps and those fears of a conspiracy that might be real.
Well, look, I think you're very right that there could be significant repercussions for people. So, for example, I'm a junior in college. There's a potential that my university could say that, you have to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. And personally, that's not something I'm focused on at this precise moment. And there could be repercussions for people in the public square who sort of deny these sort of things. Do I think, jail is something that is feasible? I don't think the government, I don't think that that's really on the table right now. But I think going back to the broader point, people should be skeptical of initiatives like this, if they are delivered out and said to the general public.
All right, now that
vein is acting fast.
And you've done an excellent job of explaining what happened 60 Minutes and how the response is. But after that, now the same one that was on 60 Minutes, according to Newsweek, has said, no, that interview caused confusion. He said, there's no microchip, no electronics, none of that stuff. It wouldn't tell if you had influenza or if you had COVID. And yet he's on camera saying it's like a check engine light that it would be used. I mean, what happened? I mean, what's fact and what's fiction here?
Right. I mean, on the transcript directly, his name's Dr. Matt Hepburn. He led the initiative. He's a former colonel in the military. He did say, yes, it's like a check engine light. And he pretty much did say, it's sort of an initiative where it's a chip or sensor where it would go into an individual's bloodstream and then it would check the blood, right, and probe for COVID-19 systems. To me, that seems pretty clearly like a chip. I mean, if that's not a chip, I don't know what a chip is.
Yeah, now they will say, well, it's really going to be a hydrogel, a substance that would show chemical reaction. So whereas a chip, we might be able to put out a locator on it. The hydrogel will be different. Again, that's what they're saying now. The other point that exists, and we all know it, when we go after terrorists in the Middle East, we carry out a drone bombing or something of that nature, and we blow the hell out of them. We have biometrics on many of those same people, and the only way we identify that we actually killed the one we were after is through biometrics and DNA and stuff of that nature. So every one of us is on record somewhere with that kind of information.
Yeah, I mean, I think conversations about what we are doing overseas, potentially with those who we identify as enemies, their national security with chips or any sort of tracking is very different from a discussion about tracking potentially, what we're saying about tracking the American people.
My point is we can easily do that if they want to go the extra step, and an enemy is whatever is declared the enemy, be it overseas or inside this country.
Sure. Yeah, I think if the government did in fact declare, that sort of initiative on the American people,
right?
Certainly.
Now the other thing, as we go through this, it is very easy for many to rush forward and say, this is definitely going to be a way to track us, and no way I'm going to do it. I'm going to fight it every step of the way. Where do you see it going for the future?
I don't know. I don't think this is something where I'm going to speculate on it vaguely. I think that it's important, again, for conservatives and just Americans in general who appreciate, the freedoms given to them under the Constitution, to be skeptical of government and initiatives such as this, which, they strike you as odd. Like, personally, I'm not comfortable putting a chip in my skin, and I don't think people would either. And I don't – maybe the government, this is really just an in-house initiative for themselves, but I do think we are, fair to be cautious of something where you would be mixing man and technology.
Yep, and not just the Pentagon, the federal government, but corporations. And the Pentagon says we're not doing it, but apparently a private U.S. firm working with government agencies been developing it. So, Gabe, I want to thank you very much for your time and your insight on this, sir. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks as always, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Gabe Kaminsky with The Federalist. And as I said, the Pentagon insisting, no, we don't have any such thing. but a private U.S. firm working with government agencies did develop a chemical biosensor that measures when you may or may not get sick. You know, they've trained dogs in some cases to go through and possibly notice someone's got cancer, things of that nature, much less carrying drugs. It's a future world. Coming up, apologies are apologies when they're given to the right person, and if you're sincere, otherwise they're useless. Stand by for that story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the other day, when Senator Tim Scott, of course, delivered the Republican response to President Biden's State of the Union statement, he was immediately chastised and called out Uncle Tim on Twitter for hours before Twitter ever bothered to take it down. They just didn't even bother with it. And he, of course, admits, say, I'm constantly barraged because I am a black Republican. And any black Republican, brown Republican, yellow Republican, red Republican, you are a target. And I thought, you know, surely some, I know, sometimes I can be so stupid and naive. I thought, surely, some Democrat of stature of some type would come forward and say, that is no way to treat a U.S. senator. And it's certainly no way to treat a person of color, since we're always being told how woke we should be, that if you're white, your privilege and everything you have is because you're white, and everyone else that's not white doesn't have anything because of that. And Senator Tim Scott says, you know, basically you never got any apology. No, and they never went public. Wouldn't they? Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, couldn't one of you stand up and say? Now, if somebody, and I would fight against this, and I'd rail against this, much as I dislike the politics of Maxine Waters, if you wanted to start calling her by some racial name or something, I would immediately condemn it. But they don't on that side. We know that. And in Texas, there's a Democrat who called Senator Tim Scott an Oreo on Twitter last week. An Oreo. And then he said, I am deeply and sincerely sorry for my inappropriate and hurtful use of a racist term. I used da, da, da. It was insensitive. I embarrassed myself. He went on and on. In other words, he was apologizing only because he's trying to save his job. As a result, he did say, I feel I'm compelled to offer my resignation as chair of the Lamar County Democrat Party for consideration by the county executive committee, so forth and so on. So he did get hit like that. No real apology. Don Lemon let loose last night against a political commentator on CNN, Rick Santorum. Santorum, a former Pennsylvania senator. He had said in an April speech to the Young Americans Foundation, the U.S. was founded by Europeans looking for religious freedom, and there wasn't much Native American culture within American culture. Well, Don Lemon said that those remarks were offensive to Native Americans, and he used the phrase, Native American lives matter. And just basically was, again, pushing. Lemon was visibly and audibly upset to say that Santorum didn't talk about suffering Native Americans had to deal with. Okay. And then we have LeBron James making his remarks the other day when the officer in Columbus, Ohio, shot Makia Bryant to save another girl. Makia Bryant, a black girl, 16 years of age, with a knife in her hand. Looks like she's getting ready to stab a black woman. I've seen different ages, 19, 20. Either way, that person facing the point of the knife might well die in the next moment. And the officer thinks, I got to save her life. And he shoots and kills the 16-year-old, Makia Bryant. And then later, LeBron James tweeted out a picture of a white officer with the caption, you're next. Well, then he said, I want to take that back. And then he wrote an additional tweet that read, protect our young black women and men. Of course, that's what he was doing. That's what the officer was doing. There was no apology from James to the officer. He just apologized that maybe my, he said, I basically did something that I fueled the wrong conversation. He admitted that. He didn't apologize to the officer making that kind of tweet and putting that remark out there. The NBA has said nothing to him. No sponsors have gone after LeBron James. I told you the other day, the headline could read, white officer saves black child from death, or black woman from death, but no. And remember the piece we ran last week between the Breakfast Club host, DJ Envy, and Charlamagne Tha God. Very interesting. If you missed that, you need to go back, pull up that podcast from last Friday. That was also on YouTube, but wasn't it, Quentin? We didn't put it on YouTube? Okay. But anyway, you need to go back and look at that, or listen to it, I should say. If you're going to make an apology, you really need to be sincere, and you need to mean it, and you need to direct it to those you've hurt. But that was his choice. He can do what he wants. But again, did any member of the Democrat Party stand up on behalf of Senator Tim Scott for being called an Oreo or anything, or Uncle Tim? No. The St. Louis market, radio market, shaking up considerably because, of course, with the loss of Rush Limbaugh, no one will ever fill Rush Limbaugh's shoes, but one station in town has carried that program for 20-plus years, 26 years. They finally decide they're going to go to just an all-talk program with three hosts, and I have a lot of friends over there. I wish them well. I truly do. But that's duplicating what's happening at another station in town that's kind of talk. The only conservative talk, thinking talk, patriotic talk, also independent thought you're going to find here, and especially on Larry Connors USA from 1 to 3. Let your friends and family know if you want conservative, patriotic, even independent thinking, it's this station and Larry Connors USA. Wait till you see what I've got for you the second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.